Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in for another live edition of 2020 Radio. Guys, we got a good show lined up for you tonight, fam. But first off, let's introduce ourselves. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Poppy Chulo El Grande.
No, you're not.
I'm Chris Lighten.
There you go. And tonight, fam, we are going in on protecting your light. So, first off, I want to apologize because Blog Talk Radio is just being...
Blog Talk Radio.
Being Blog Talk Radio. They're giving us all kind of problems. So, our sound may not be perfect, so hopefully you can all hear us well. We are going to make this a short show due to the technical difficulties that's been going on with Blog Talk at the last minute. But that still gives us enough time to just get in the things that we need to get in and share our light and teach you about how to protect your light.
Yeah.
So we've been gone for a couple of weeks. You want to tell the fam what we've been up to?
We was in Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
Turn it up virgin style.
Yeah.
No liquor, just crunk for no reason.
Crunk on spirit.
Crunk on spirit. Can I get large spirit, please? Not Sprite, but spirit.
No ice.
No ice. Straight up, no chaser. My fault. Straight up, no darkness. Oh, we had a good time out there. We was out there for almost a week. We was out there kicking it.
We were. We stayed at the beautiful Luxor Hotel.
Go ahead.
Man, this hotel was amazing.
It's like staying in Kemet without all the good stuff.
Right?
It was in a pyramid. It was deities everywhere. As soon as you walk in, deities everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, beam of light, beam of consciousness going up in the ether. Come on, man. Come on.
A lot of people don't know about the beam of light that comes out of the pyramid.
They don't know. We can go in on that a little bit, too.
Go ahead. We're talking about light, so go ahead.
Well, a lot of people aren't aware of this, but the pyramids are nothing more than consciousness holders. They're not tombs like we've been told they are. They're holders of consciousness. And what you can do is if you have the right keys, you can tap into that consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book called The Harada Ictum that my spiritual master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, sells called The Harada Ictum on Tybo.com. You can read up about it on his website and get the book, and it's girthy. The book is girthy.
It really is. It's so full of information. It's not a one-night read.
Oh, no. It's not a six-month read.
Nah.
It's a lifetime journey.
It is.
And they have spells in that book to help you traverse some of the pyramids. And I'll just talk about one of the spells. I won't get going deep on it, but I did try a couple of them, and one of them, my goodness, I seen the pyramid in my dream, and I remember the key, and I was able to get in. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying, family. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. We both had that experience. There's, like Chris said, there's these number of spells that you have to work with, and then you can choose, well, depending on the spell, you can go into the different pyramids.
Yeah.
And, you know. We'll just leave it at that.
We can't say too much. It's all only come to me in my dream, like, Chris, you know you shouldn't have told. The Harada Ictum family.
On Tibro.
Man. And again, we was at his seminar,
mm-hmm.
The Omnicron Project.
Man, that was like.
It was ridiculous.
That was, you know, we go to a lot of spiritual seminars, but that one made us think like any other. We've been bombarded with like out of this world information.
Yeah.
And we've been given tools and we've been given practices on what to do. But on this one, we were challenged on this seminar. We were challenged to think outside of our program. And that was one for the records.
That was one for the records.
Yeah.
There's nothing like getting your PhD. But when someone says, hey, beam me up, Scotty, and then you got to go beyond anything that you ever thought in the earthly realms, that seminar there was out here.
It really was.
I've never seen so many mandibles dumbfounded in my life.
Yeah.
I was looking around. Everybody was just in awe, like, what? It was out there, out of this world, family. That's all I can say about that.
It was. The seminar was so powerful that we had to take some time off just to let it soak in.
Yeah.
So that's why you have our performance in a couple of weeks. But we're back.
And we got a pair of doses, too. I won't go on.
Yeah, we did.
And for those who aren't aware of what a paradosis is nothing more than an energy transfer from an astute spiritual master to all his students. And we felt the energy because we were all tired.
We were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't smoke weed, but I felt spiritually high, like, whoa.
You had to go back to your room and just chill.
You had to go chill, you know, for at least
take an
hour.
Nap,
yeah.
You know, just relax.
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, get
a pair of doses and go out skating.
Right.
You can't do it.
But Vegas was beautiful, too. We seen a lot of things. We went through a lot of hotels.
The metaphysical shops?
Oh, the metaphysical shops were amazing down over there.
I still got to give my mama her trinket I got. It's just been so productive. Mama, I hear you listening. I got you something. I just ain't been over there yet.
What else did we do? We saw they had the most beautiful hotels out there.
Man, the hotels out there was crack.
I mean, it was out of this world.
It was out of this world. It was as if we were in like 8 different countries. The architecture was like, we got to go to Italy to get these architects. We got to go to Paris to get this architect. We go to New York. It was just amazing, family.
It really was. Those hotels are gorgeous. I'm not really pressed on going back, but if I were to go back, it would just be to see the hotels. I think, like, what are those hotels?
When you
like?
Pay $5.50 for a 16th ounce bottle of water and you're thirsty in a desert, I'm not going back. I was in there drinking bathroom water, like, cause we didn't have, and I just wasn't feeling right. I said, I gotta leave. It's time to go. My lips was all dry.
Super dry.
Oh, man.
The desert does not agree with you. I don't think you were an Egyptian in the past life.
Nah, I wasn't no Egyptian. I know I wasn't no Egyptian. My mama's 54%.
Oh, my goodness.
Nigerian, so that speaks volumes. Don't let this light shade fool you.
Oh,
I'm a Hutu underneath.
Whatever. You a who knew underneath.
Ain't that right, Mama?
We got to get serious.
All right, so that's enough talk about Vegas. We got to get in on this show. So, protecting your light.
Mm.
You want to start us out on that?
Well, a lot of people don't realize this, that I wrote about this in my book, Poverty Consciousness, that when you transition or die, you're weighed and judged on how much light you have and how much light you've used, along with how much darkness you have and how much darkness you used. Mm-hmm. But I wrote the book, Poverty Consciousness, just to give people that inkling, just to put that aspect of reality in their consciousness. I didn't divulge everything I knew about protecting your light, and I'll share more with you listening today. In this reality, there are things and there are people out there that take your light unbeknownst to you. You think that you lose your light just by looking at dark things. No, you lose your light just by being around dark people. Whenever we're all energy reserves, mm-hmm. and whenever you choose to be around someone who's vibrating low, you're choosing to give some of your facets of light away. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. So you got to be really mindful about who you share your light with. Our eyes are nothing more than suns. Just like the sun and the sky, mm-hmm. our eyes are miniature suns. We get light from the sun, and we also get light to and from different people when you look at them. So if you know you're around someone that's dark, don't even look at them in their eyes. Don't pay them any attention because you don't want that energy transfer to go on unbeknownst to you.
Mm-hmm. There's a big misconception that when you're on the enlightenment journey that everything is, you know, about recognizing blessings and accepting good things and saying positive affirmations and welcoming positive energy. But just like our daughter's in the room, but just like, you know, how a moth is drawn to a flame, darkness can also be drawn to your light. And so just like light people are drawn to you, dark people are drawn to you as well. And the funny thing is that most people won't even know why they're drawn to you. You know, when you're on the spiritual journey, you may have people that approach you and go, I don't know why, but something just told me to come over here and talk to you.
Wow.
Or I don't know why, but something told me, you know, that I needed to say something to you or you had a message for me or something along those lines. And it's because of the light projection that you send out that is attracting them.
Mm-hmm. It may not be attracting them on a physical level,
no.
But subconsciously or etherically, they just feel compelled to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be your family, your friends, cousins, children, parents.
Mm-hmm.
If someone around you is dark or they're not really receptive to what you're trying to do, if they're not receptive to you growing spiritually, no matter what the cause, you got to cut them out. It's just that simple. We have to become more strong when it comes to our spiritual growth. We need to fight for your right to grow spiritually as if someone was attacking you.
Mm.
It's just that simple, family. The days of us just doing it because great-grandma believed it, we got to stop that.
Mm.
We have to stop that. Because if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get reincarnated and do the same thing again. The goal is to transition and transcend to higher realms of reality. But most people aren't even aware of that aspect of our reality.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think that we come here just to get a good job, be married, be fruitful, have children. That's on the mundane level of existence. And that's true. That's okay to do that. But your ultimate goal is to grow spiritually to the point where when you do die or transition, you transition to the higher realms of reality where life really starts.
You know, a lot of people also believe that they are supposed to come here in order to help other people. They're here to, you know, create their dharma by doing something, you know, to help other people. And in actuality, you can be helping someone who is, you know, a dark soul. They're a dark person. And so while you're trying to help them, what they're doing in an exchange is stealing your light.
Mm.
And that prevents you from moving on and extending to a higher level of existence once you transition.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people think that it's okay to, like, teach people. And I know this is kind of dictatorial because we have a radio show.
Yeah.
But this show is projecting a beam of light to those seeking light.
Mm-hmm.
You can't give light to someone that feeds soft darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
If someone, you know, nothing against homeless people or people that they call bums, nothing against those people. But in my book, Wealth Consciousness, I talk about the consciousness of homeless people. on either a subconscious, before it hits their consciousness, on a subconscious level, a bum or a homeless person accepted that reality. It just doesn't happen by chance. Something within them accepted being homeless, and there's nothing you can do to help them. That's something they're going to have to do. But just you feeling pity, the energy of feeling pity, sorrow, is lowering your vibration. Just you, the thought of, oh, I got to help that person, that right there is lowering your vibration. You got to let that person figure it out on their own. Give them tough spiritual love.
Facts. So I want to remind the fam before we just dig in too deep, because we're going in, that if you have any questions or you want to chip in and share something on your own, feel free to give us a call at 619-924-0835. Hit the number 1 if you're already on the line. Let us know you want to come through, and that's what we'll do. We'll bring you through. I see a lot of new people that are joining us, and we want to say thank you and hello.
The boards are lit up tonight.
Yeah, we got a lot of people out there tonight.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Winning.
Even though we're having technical issues, you know, we want to thank you guys for being with us anyway.
We're having technical issues because we're talking about light.
Notice that?
The illusion.
Now, we were talking about, you know, how to find your twin flame, or decoding movies, or you know,
everything
something
was
like
going
that.
Smooth.
Everything be working fine. We spilling some jewels on how to protect your life and how to ascend, and things start crumbling.
Things start. We've done 90 shows, and this hasn't happened.
Never happened like this before.
But when you're living in an illusion, and the illusion itself, just like in the Matrix, when the illusion recognizes you're trying to break free of the illusion, and you're divulging secrets about the illusion,
mm-hmm.
the illusion fights back.
Mm-hmm.
It fights for its existence
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't want us to collectively ascend to higher realms of reality.
It's fact.
It doesn't want that.
Mm-mm.
But you have to put it into your consciousness that the things that you're feeling, touching, tasting, hearing, and seeing isn't real.
Mm-hmm.
It's high-tech illusion, but it's still an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And with any illusion or any program, they're cheat codes.
Mm-hmm.
And one way to protect your light is to learn the cheat codes. And we're going to go in on those.
Yeah. So you want to think about it like this, fam. You know, scientists have made theories that this existence isn't actually real, that this is a hologram, that this is a program, that this is like a video game to think, you know, to put it in a different way of thinking. So we're characters within a video game, and the things that we think are real aren't really real. The things that we have that are going on in our lives or whatever are things that we have projected out that we've created ourselves.
Mm. It's just as simple as this, family. Nothing in your reality exists until you focus on it.
Exactly.
It's just as simple as that. If you focus on darkness, you create a bridge for darkness to follow you in your life. If you focus on wealth, you create a bridge for wealth to find you in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. Things like Facebook, those are extensions of your consciousness. If you look on your timeline, you see a bunch of negativity, you have to do some self-assessments like, wait a minute, why am I opening a door to negativity in my life?
Mm-hmm.
How did this happen? If it means closing out your Facebook account, it means closing out your Facebook account. Me personally, I don't have darkness on my timeline because my consciousness doesn't see darkness.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, a lot of killing, a lot of crazy stuff going on. I'm literally oblivious to it because I don't watch the news. I don't know what's going on out there. All I know is I eat delicious food every day, I travel a lot, and I'm winning. That's it. That's all I'm focused on.
And so, like you said, you know, there's ways where you can find out how to maneuver through the program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you know, like you said, cheat codes. You know, think about, again, playing a game.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these little cheats and things that you mm-hmm. can find where instead of going through the next 64 levels to achieve, you know, your gold coins or whatnot, you can get it in the next 12 levels instead.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this reality is about. It's about finding the best route for you in order to increase your light.
You know, I want to talk about how to protect your light.
Okay.
The first thing you can do to protect your light is gain light. That's the best thing you can do is gain light.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best free ways to gain light is looking at the sun.
Sunlight.
Sunlight. From the hours when sunrise, you look at the sun with the naked eye for the first 10, 15 minutes of sunrise, and the last 10, 15 minutes of sunset are the only two times you can look at the sun with the naked eye without any problems.
Well, let's elaborate for the fam what that is, because we don't want people going blind out there.
Okay. You want me to go ahead?
So the safest times to look at the sun, like Chris said, is the first 10 to 15 minutes of sunrise or sunset. So another way of looking at that is to only look at the sun when the sun is orange or red in color.
Mm-hmm.
If it's bright yellow, if it's white, do not look at the sun. It is dangerous to look at the sun during those times. You only want to look at it when it's in the orange or red phases.
And when the sun isn't in the orange or red phases, you can face the sun with your eyes closed. And imagine your pineal drinking the sunlight.
Good one.
Imagine this, your pineal soaking up all the energy and terabytes of data that the sun is giving you. A lot of people don't know that all the information, consciousness, all that stuff is derived from the sun, because the sun is an interstellar being itself. The sun that we see is a projection of the primordial sun that everything in our universe taps into.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that people aren't aware of. They need to know this. Mm-hmm. They need to know this.
Just, I like it when your voice gets sad.
Just like everything else in our reality is an illusion, the sun is an illusion, too.
Mm.
The sun is an illusion, too. The sun isn't 93 million miles away, like they told us.
Mm.
That's a false. That's a farce. It's not true. You know? I wouldn't even go. We need to do a show on this. We need to do a show on the sun.
We'll have a lot of angry people, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. People are going to fight for their level of understanding. Mm. When we talk, we're talking from a place of overstanding. Well, we used to understand things that we were told, but when you know, things are different. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
By us being solar adepts, we were able to connect with the sun and get the sun to respond to us real time. If the sun was 93 million miles away, when we go out and make the sun blink, if it was 93 million miles away, we'd have to go out 2 weeks ago, do something, and 3 weeks later, the sun will respond to us.
Mm-hmm.
The sun wouldn't respond to us real time if it was 93 million miles away. That's just impossible.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. But on another tangent, another thing you can do to increase your light.
Well, before you do that, I want to also, because a question that we always get about the sun is, well, what about the days when there is no sunlight? What about when it's gloomy? What about when it's raining? The best thing you can do for that is that even if you don't see the sun, the sun is still there. The sky is still lit up. It may be behind clouds, it may be behind a storm or whatever, but the sun is still there. So
sun's always out.
It's always there, you know. So in the morning, you want to face east.
Yeah.
That's where the sun is going to be coming up at. So face east. Even if you can't see the sun, you can't feel the sun, face east and take in the sun in that sense.
Any spectacle of light that we see in the sky is from the sun. So all you need to do is go outside, look up, and if it's lit in the morning, even whether you can see the sun or not, if it's bright outside or if it's lit outside, if it's light outside, go outside and breathe in that air for 10 seconds. That's all you need to do. And be conscious of you intaking the solar rays.
About 10 minutes.
Did I say 10 seconds?
Yeah.
I meant to say 10 minutes, fam.
It's all good.
I'm good. Another thing you can do to increase your light, family, mantras, learning divine prayers. My mama memorized the miracle prayer. It felt so good for my mama to memorize the miracle prayer. But what she's doing is she's memorizing. When you memorize a divine prayer in his native tongue, you align yourself with the consciousness of all the other beings that have lived for thousands of years that have elevated their consciousness, and you're on the same wavelength with them, and miracles happen in your life. Once you memorize one divine prayer, you're winning for eternity. When you transition, all you take is your consciousness. Just imagine if you transition to a darker place and you have the miracle prayer branded on your heart and in your soul, you won't be able to stay in a dark place because you're vibrating too high.
So what I like to do is every morning when I wake up, I say the Anabakoa, a.k.a. the miracle prayer, 21 times. And I say the Ganesha mantra 108 times every day. And you can choose whatever prayer, divine prayer that you like. You can choose any type of mantra that you like. You want to find out the one that resonates with you. And what you do by saying it every day in a repetition like that, you're putting divine energy within that prayer. And then you're getting blessed with a return of divine energy from saying a prayer.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I want you to realize this, family, if you feel compelled to memorize a prayer, this probably was not the first time you've felt compelled to memorize a prayer. All I want you to do is try to remember the prayer. Focus on remembering the prayer because your subconscious mind is nothing more than the Akashic Records. Your subconscious mind remembers all the lifetimes that you've lived. It may be suppressed, but it's in there. Psychotherapists, when they hypnotize you, they go into your past lives or they go into your consciousness when you were a child to find out what's wrong with you. That's what they do. So if they're able to do that, that means that we have the same consciousness of our past lives, our child life, all that within us. And we need to tap into the joy part of that whenever you're doing your solo practice and your divine prayers. Joy is the key that unlocks things within your DNA that help you evolve spiritually, family. You don't want to be saying the divine prayer all mad, like, yeah, animal core, get it locked, me and God. It doesn't work like that, family. You want to say it with joy and positive vigor about yourself. That's the key. Increasing your joy is another way to gain light within your being.
Definitely. You know, find something that you like to do. A lot of people don't know what it is that they like to do. We get asked a lot of times where people want to know, like, well, how can I increase my joy? I have a hard time finding my joy. And we ask them all the time, what is it that you like to do? And we get the same response all the time. It's almost to the point where we're waiting for it to come out. They'll say what, Chris?
I don't know. I don't know what I like to do.
And that's like, really sad. It's like, you know, you're 40, 30, 40, 50 years old, and you don't know yet. You haven't figured out what it is in this life that you like to do.
Mm.
You know? And it's really challenging to have people, like, dig deep and think about what it is they like to do. And what we've discovered is that when we help people to find what their joy is, it's something that was very simple. It was right there with them all along. But it was something within them that wouldn't allow them to recognize it as joy or allow them to increase, you know, doing that activity.
Mm.
You know, we've had people tell us, like, well, you know, I guess I like to cook. Okay, well, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
If you like to do it more. You know what? Open up a YouTube page about it. Write a blog. Share your pictures of the dishes that you make. Take your food out and feed people. Invite people over for dinner. You know, do these things that will increase your joy. Find out what it is that you like to do. One of the questions I heard you ask people a lot is, what did you like to do as a kid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have one of our friends told us, I like to make mud pies.
I'm just playing.
And, you know, but what I got from that was, okay, so you like to be creative.
Mm.
You will take whatever is around you to make some kind of creative, to make something creative out of it. Your thing may be drawing. Your thing may be art. It may be writing. It may be, you know, telling stories. Whatever it is, you know, when you have a hard time, like, really thinking about what it is you like to do, what brings you joy, think about the last time that you laughed really hard.
Mm.
What was it that brought you that joy?
Mm-hmm.
It might have been listening to us. I don't know.
Yeah, it might have been. One thing I want all the listeners to do is to have a heart-to-heart with yourself.
Mm.
I want you guys to go in the mirror look in in the bathroom, shut the door, look in the mirror, and tell yourself you love yourself. Look yourself dead in the eye and tell yourself, I love myself. I love you, me. And make a pact with yourself to choose to grow spiritually and hold yourself accountable to that every day. There's something within us that when we try to do things outside of what we're programmed to do, we don't complete it. You may want to write a book. You may want to do this. You may want to go back to school, but there's always something that for some reason you don't complete it. You have to ask yourself, what is that? What is that barrier? What is that block? If you don't know how to jump that hurdle or go beyond that barrier, you need to align yourself with a spiritual master that resonates with you. And if they're winning and the people they're teaching is winning, mirror what they're doing on a small level.
Mm-hmm.
If you're following someone and they're just doing all the talking and the people underneath them aren't winning, me personally, I don't want to just follow someone that no one else is winning with. Okay, family?
Well, you know, that's what I like to call followers. And a real spiritual master, a real spiritual teacher doesn't want followers. A real master wants students. And he wants students that will, their goal is to become masters of themselves.
Mm.
You know, because you can follow someone. Following someone is no different than, you know, being in religion.
Mm.
You know, you're listening to the word, you're getting the messages, and you're waiting for someone to come back and save you.
Mm.
You're not doing any of the work yourself.
Mm.
And so that's what a follower is. A student is someone that takes in the lessons, apply them to their lives, and even if they fail, they do it again.
Mm.
Until you master it.
You know, one thing I want to help the people with is protecting your light. And when you protect your light, in most cases these days, because the Western world that we live in, the energies that support higher consciousness isn't that plentiful over here.
Mm-hmm.
Not like it is over in the East. So what you have to do to protect your light is be alone. If you're not all the time around people that are trying to grow spiritually, you got to disassociate yourself from a lot of people. That means your family, too. Forget about how they feel about it. That shouldn't even be in your consciousness. If you know someone in your family, it could be your mama, your sister, your brother, I don't care who it is. If they're dark, they're not trying to grow spiritually, they're not supporting your evolutionary spiritual growth, you got to cut them out. You got to cut them out. And what will happen is this. When they see you winning, when they see you growing spiritually, if they're light, if they have a dim light within them, they'll come to you asking you, like, what are you doing to win like that? That's when you get them back and then show them the way. But if you're fighting to show, tell them, yeah, do this, and they're just saying, well, you're wrong, you got to let them go. Because there is no wrong or right. It's only about what you do. And if you're winning, keep winning.
Facts. You know, we get a lot of people that say, well, what do I do about, you know, when I can't get away from negative people? Like, let's say, for example, your job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to go to work. And majority of people work around people who they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's usually a couple of dark souls that are within the workplace. You know, a lot of times it's your manager or your boss, your supervisor or whatever. And they play such an important role within your career that there is no really getting around it. So what advice would you give to someone in that situation, Chris?
You know me. I quit my job. I was there 18 years, and I said, you know what? You guys are too dark for me to even make money around.
Okay, so that worked for you.
Okay, that's just what I did. But for everyone else,
mm-hmm.
you have to invest in some real spiritual tools.
Mm-hmm.
You got to invest in something that's going to create a bubble of light around you. And that's what I did at first. I did that for the past 8 years while I was there. I created a bubble of light around myself, and some people succumbed to that bubble of light. They got
mm-hmm.
their lost altars up. They started using crystals. They started learning mantras. They started asking me questions, and they're winning.
Mm-hmm.
But for the 99% of other people that weren't winning, I just had to disassociate myself from people. I mean, when it came to lunchtime, I would leave the building, chill in the car. I would come to my desk and just wouldn't talk to people. I wrote 3 books while I was on the clock because I was in my own zone. sometimes you got to learn to be in your own zone and don't even worry about the people because they're not even real people, family.
Mm-hmm.
They're nothing more than entities here that look like humans, but their sole goal is to make sure you don't grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. I know you felt it like, man, something ain't right about Sanchez.
Why do you always say Sanchez?
And there's something about that name I like. Something ain't right about Sanchez.
Well, I agree with that a lot. I would say that, you know, the best thing to do is to stay in your own lane, to try to limit as much contact with those people as possible. You know, if you do have to interact with them, keep it purely professional. You know, a lot of people, they like to, and I've only noticed this mainly at work, you know, with work people. Work people always want to go out after work and get drinks.
They do.
They never say, you know, hey, let's go out on the weekend and get drinks. It's always after work, let's go out and get drinks. And the only people that have ever really invited me out to work, I mean, out for drinks, were people that I worked with.
That's it.
And so, and it's usually, you know, the dark people that are paying the bill or, you know, begging you to come along. Yeah. And, yeah, you don't even really care for these people, but they want you to be there for some reason. And so it just made me think that why is it that they want me around? Especially why do they want me inebriated and then want me around?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, you know, I've weakened my state. And so once my guard is down, my light is more easier to be taken.
Mm-hmm.
They can steal my light.
That's real.
You know, so, yeah, stay in your lane, stay away from those people, try to have limit your contact with them as much as possible, and, you know, not worry about what they think. So
mm-hmm.
what?
Yeah.
So what? Treat them like they're not real. They're, you know, because they're not.
You know, one thing that helped us out, both of us out on our spiritual path, is mastering at least one divination. When you master divination, what it does, it allows you to see the signs that the universe is giving you. There are all types of signs that we're giving daily that help us grow and manifest things within this illusionary matrix that we're living in. One divination that you used was tarot in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Me was numerology. And then we both got into the sun.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you can do every day when you're at work. Whenever you go outside, acknowledge the sun. It's waiting for you to realize who it is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a spiritual fetus of yourself that resides in the sun. And once you get the sun to respond to you, it'll start blinking at you. And when that happens, you can start communicating with the sun. And you'll start getting terabytes of data downloaded to you. You all of a sudden start getting more creative and all that stuff.
Mm.
Before I got the sun blink, I wasn't writing no books. I was turning up on the weekend.
Yeah.
Tequila, what? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But after I communicated with the sun, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I write books, I help people, I'm a numerologist. My life has changed.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with the people. I'm from the hood.
There you go, that high voice again.
That's how we talk. You know what? One misconception that I had about spirituality was this. You have to get a bald head and be naked in a robe. You don't have to be like that to grow spiritually. Everything about you right now is perfect for your path. You're perfect how you are. We're like butterflies, family. Everything that we need to grow into the spirit light being that we're destined to be, that we come here to be, is already in us, but it's hidden. It's hidden within our consciousness. Once you change your consciousness and choose to grow spiritually and turn the light, things will just start manifesting. And even if it doesn't happen in this life, the next life, you'll be further on your path to enlightenment, family. Don't think like this is my last shot to get it. You need to set yourself up for spiritual success for your next few lives.
Mm-hmm.
You listening to this show right now, most of you guys are elevated because, man, I'm getting excited, baby. You want to go?
So we just had a really good question come in. Shout out to our fam, Rashid.
Rashid, man, hit the button for Rashid, man.
Well, he sent me a question.
Okay.
So he wants to know, what's your views on detachment?
You want to go first?
He also added to that, but I can't see. I think he said, what's your views on detachment when you... Well, we'll just add on that. So... I'm sorry, another question came up. So for me, you know, me personally, it's easy for me to detach because I don't really... I'm more of an introvert, so it doesn't... I don't really need attention from other people. I don't need to speak to other people. You know, spirituality, being on the spirituality journey has been easy for me because I'm okay with being alone. I'm okay with, you know, kind of shutting down. And, you know, I need to protect my energy a lot because I'm so sensitive to other people's energy. I'm sensitive to other areas and things and people and beings and everything. So it's easy for me to just go into a room, shut the door, and, you know, meditate or read or, you know, whatever. But for the people who are high-energy extroverts like you, Chris, you know, I think it's more of a challenge for you to detach. And it's not mainly because you care about what people think. I think it's more because you just care about people in general.
You know, Rashid is like me. When I first met the brother, I seen his smile and I felt his light. I'm like, dude, he's like a younger version of me. We just lovable people like that. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to touch us. Everyone wants to hug us. We were the type of dudes that had the stiff arm chicks like, no, I'm good. I know you like me, but I'm good. It's just the energy we have. And what I had to do is what I'm imploring you to do, bro, is smile and drag your sword. It's cutting the ground. Sparks is coming out. It's behind you, but you still got your joy. And if anyone's giving you any negativity, that's when you pull your spiritual sword up and strike them out. I have no problem with cutting people out my life. It's to the point now that I'm looking to cut people out. I don't give chances. You get one shot and you're cut. And that's just it. I had to learn. It took years for me to get to this point because I was a chance giver. Oh, I understand. It's your 10th chance. Don't get me 11.
Yeah, you were.
Now I'm like, you get half a chance now. Mm-hmm. If you're not trying to grow spiritually, I just cut you out. And that which you do most is that what you do best.
Fact.
So the more you cut people out, the more you fight for your level of spiritual growth, the more it becomes easier. And the beginning is going to be a little challenging. It's going to be a daunting task to someone like you, Rashid. But you're going to have to do it. It's just as simple as that. Don't worry about their feelings. Get your ego out of it. The ego works both ways. It gets happy and it gets sad. A lot of people don't look at the sad part of the ego, like the feeling bad for people part of the ego. Let that go. Let that go. Be a warrior for your own light. Fight for your light. That's it. Once you start fighting for your light, you're going to be cutting people up left and right.
All right. So take a breather for a minute. He says, so his full question was, what's your ideas on detachment, being standoffish, seemingly cold-hearted, / don't care, et cetera, when it comes to protecting your light? What I would add to that is that when you have developed your life, when you have developed your light to a level of when you start seeing results, when you start noticing that things are just coming to you easier, things are making more sense, things are clicking, you don't feel bad anymore about, you know, feeling standoffish or being cold towards other people. When people feel as if you're being cold to them, that means you're accelerating.
I'm known as a spiritual bully.
Yeah.
I force people to win. One thing that I realized was this. In the beginning, when I was coming into my spiritual bulliness, I was getting challenged. Are you really a spiritual bully? Are you really a spiritual bully? But once you gain enough light, negative people, they won't come around you. The police don't even pull me over no more, bro. I was getting pulled over, handcuffed, thrown to the ground, knee in the back, all this crazy stuff. But now I got so much light in me that I don't even know what the frequency of negativity is. It's crazy. And when I start feeling like someone tries to test me and I feel it coming on, that's when I bust out the divine prayers. People carry cards and things like that in their wallet. I carry divine prayers in my soul. Everywhere I go, I say them all day, every day. We wake up saying divine prayers. My wife was washing the dishes. I look in the kitchen. I said, what you doing? She's like, just saying divine prayers. That's just what we do. The more light you increase within you, all those issues will just go away, bro. It's going to take some time, though. They just fade away in the wind. They just fade away. But when you're vibrating high enough, you're not going to even be on a frequency where negativity can even see you. That's the deeper science behind it. You think our master, Dr. Mitchell Gibson, worry about negativity? What did he say in the seminar? I don't care.
So what I'm going to add to that is that whenever you are feeling as if someone is saying that you're being cold, or they're treating you like, you know, maybe you're putting yourself up on a pedestal or whatever, you want to think about what level they're at. And anyone that is of a light soul will be applauding you. They would be on that same level with you. So anyone that feels left out, feels bad, feels hurt, feels mad because of them feeling detached from you, then it's something that they need to work on for themselves. They have to build up their own light. We got another question too.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a question from Lil Dev, and her question was, how can she protect her light working in the field of customer service?
That's a good one.
Because you have to deal with a lot of outside entities a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So
one thing that I do, because I worked in IT for years, 20-something years, and one thing I realized was this. People address you and speak from their level of understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever someone talks to me negatively, I say, wow, I am so glad that I'm winning. You gotta point the finger at you and see how far you've grown. Sometimes when people are negative and they come around you, they're nothing more than a reflection of how far you've come. Don't lower your consciousness down to other people around you. Don't even worry about them losing. When I see someone in a bad mood, I say, ooh, they are losing and I am winning. It's nothing more than a reassurance to you that this is where you were, and now look at where you're at. But if someone's negative and you're like, yeah, child, yeah, honey, child, I feel you. Mm-hmm. I'm using a lot of old lingo, aren't I?
You do.
Honey, child. People
honey
don't say that no
child
more. I know.
You're such an old man.
I accept. But whenever you see someone coming with you with negativity, all you got to do is do what I always say. Is that right? And keep it going.
This has nothing to do with anything, but 2 weeks ago we was on the show, the last old saying you said was britches.
I did. I'm older than you guys. I'm older than everyone in this home. I'm older. And I accept that I'm a seasoned man.
Britches and honey chow.
Britches and honey chow.
All right, my fault. I just thought that was funny.
I'm just using primordial vernacular, that's all. That's all.
I also want to give a shout-out to our sis, Vanessa. She said, this show is fire.
What up? What up, V? Another winner.
Yes, yes. You know, I love our spiritual fam. I seriously love our spiritual fam. I mean, they are, you know, it's, you know, when your light gets so high, when it gets so bright, you get to the point, for one, you get to the point where outside negativity just doesn't bother you. It bounces off of you like, you know, a bubble or something. Like it can't penetrate you. It just, it comes at you with force, but then it falls back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you have this protective shield around you or whatever. But when you're around other light beings, there's an exchange of energy. First off, you carry this high energy within yourself anyway because you're projecting, you know, you're increasing your light.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come in contact with another light being, that energy just...
It's an exchange.
And
it builds up.
And it's such a beautiful thing. And when you come across another light being, you know, you can feel their energy before they even open their mouth and say anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know in your heart, you know in your soul, you know in every depth of every fiber of what you are that they're a light person. And so when they do speak and they smile at you and you exchange love and hugs and everything like that, it's just such a beautiful thing. There's nothing like it. I've never experienced, and I'm not even a lovey-dovey person like that. I didn't grow up in a family where we hugged and kissed and, you know, loved on each other and said it and exchanged those kind of, you know, terms of endearments and things like that. Yeah, but I feel compelled to do it whenever I see these people, and it's like it's something in me that just, you know, is so happy to see them and he wants to love on them, and, you know, that's all I got to say.
You know, there's a reservoir of love and power that we all hold within our being. And when you meet another being that's vibrating on the same frequency, that's holding light, dragging their spiritual sword behind them, there's a fusion that happens between you two. And what happens, it's like a spontaneous combustion that keeps magnifying between the two. Like when me and you look at each other's eyes, we gain light. I don't be like, oh my God, I got to see her face again. I'm tired of looking at her pretty brown eyes. I don't look like that. I don't be like that. Another thing, there's nothing new under the sun. I know that sounds cliche, but it's true. Everything that we're experiencing externally, the ancients experienced internally. Like we have the internet now. That's nothing new under the sun. The only difference is it's an external internet. The internet that we all have within us, you can feel it when you meet your spiritual family. Meaning, when I meet people like Rashid, Vanessa, we're tethered spiritually. So even when we're not around each other, we feel each other's pain, love, and joy. And then when we reconnect, it's like I sent them an email, like, hey, what's going on? You're winning. You know?
Right.
I can't think of anyone in my spirit that's really in my spiritual family that I don't love and miss.
I don't either.
I think it's weird that I'll be loving people, and they'd be amazed that I love them so much. I love you, man. I love you, sis.
And, you know, and that's something else. Like, whenever we go to, you know, our seminars and we see each other and everything, for one, it's a spiritual family reunion. It's like you're so excited and happy to see all these people. And then when you're parting ways, you know, I always tell everyone, like, I love you, you know. I've never been a I love you type person, but I generally, you know, I love these people, you know, and it's just.
I'd be wanting to make men feet dangle, but I want them thinking, hey, I'm a strong dude.
Please don't let the men.
I can pick everyone up.
No, don't do that.
And I was like, you know, if I make this dude's feet dangle, I'm going to just give him the hand in the brotherhood. Because he's going to think I'm crazy. He's going to think I'm crazy. And that's real. That's how you are on the spiritual side. Your light attracts other light. But light also attracts darkness. So when you feel the darkness coming, you got to push it away. Pull up your sword and your shield and get to running if you need to.
You want to be careful about how you project your light too, because if you project your light out, especially, you know, like you were saying earlier, when you're trying to share your light with dark people, it's like a boomerang effect. It ends up breaking that shield that I just talked about. It breaks that shield down, and then, you know, your energy is at risk. One of the things that I want to touch on, so normally we do a movie show every month. We're not going to do one this month because we've been gone for 2 weeks, and, you know, we got some more spiritual stuff that we want to go in on, but I do want to touch on a movie that is great at helping the fam understand how to protect your light, how to project your light, and how to build your light. It's a movie called The Celestine Prophecy. This movie, it came out, like, what, in the early 90s?
Early 90s.
And most people would probably look at this movie and just be like, eh, not watching it. I implore you to go past what you would normally watch and just sit through this movie. Once you get into the meat of the movie, it goes in on your light, on the body of light, on the what our purpose here is on this existence and how to move on to a higher existence.
Protecting yourself from darkness and how darkness masks itself as friendly people just to get inside. Everyone that you think that's wishing you well aren't really wishing you well. You know, sometimes the people you least expected are the ones rooting for you and praying for you and trying to help you the most. But when you gain light, your level of awareness changes. And when your level of awareness changes, you begin to see things for what they really are. And that's what I want everyone listening now and in the future to focus on, increasing your level of awareness, your spiritual depth perception. Start seeing things with a different eye. You have two eyes that you see out of, but use your first eye to feel more. Don't worry about things because this is an illusion, and your eyes can trick you. So when you see something, take a second to think about, how do I feel about that?
Mm.
Stop asking people what they think and start asking them, how do you feel? That's how you start gaining more light, by connecting with people on an innate spiritual level.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a mundane, oh, I want to make them feel good level. Sometimes connecting with someone on a spiritual level, giving them light, is telling them things that they don't want to hear. You got to be real with people. And that's what I am. I'm real with everybody.
I ain't trying to change the subject or not, but you see that dragon on
there? I did see that dragon. I was looking at that dragon and was thinking to myself, how am I keeping this thought? I must really care about my people here.
Man. Yeah, so I don't know. We went in on some jewels tonight, Sam, and I hope that people really got a good sense of understanding how important it is, how important your light is on this journey. Yes, it's important to be a good person. Yes, it's good to, you know, set good examples for other people. But what you really want to take from this more than anything is that you came into this existence for yourself.
Mm.
You came here to elevate your soul. You didn't come here to save anyone else. You didn't come here to change the world. You came here to elevate yourself.
Mm-hmm. One thing I want to leave the people with this. When you're meditating, it's useless if you're not taking in any sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
All the sitting in the darkness and all that, that seems good. But I want to ask you, what are you getting out of it for real? You're just sitting in darkness getting bored.
Even if you do sit in darkness, still go outside and take 10 minutes of sun in.
And that's what I was about to say.
Yeah.
Go out in the sun, get 10 minutes of light in, then go and sit and meditate. If you're not meditating, if you're not taking in sunlight, those are free things you can do. And hold yourself accountable to your spiritual growth. That's
mm-hmm.
it. Hold yourself accountable. We work for people. We work hard for people. Mm-hmm. But we don't work hard,
don't work
for,
hard
ourselves.
For ourselves. No
we
got to
stop that. Work hard for yourself and give people what you give yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I stopped working hard for people. My last month at work, I don't know why they didn't fire me.
Same here.
I was like, I'm not even coming in this week. He was like, baby, you going? I'm like, no, and I'm going to get paid.
I was telling you to stay home.
You were telling me to stay home. And I did. I said, why am I going to that place? I don't love that place. Why am I going to this place? When I don't... That's when you know the street coming out. I blame that on my mama. Whenever she was married, her voice got high. My dad wasn't around, so I don't know how dudes do it.
Don't blame it on your mom.
Hey, I don't know how dudes do it, but I know my mama got mad. She was like, Chris! Chris!
Oh, man. Well, Sam, we want to thank you so much for tuning in with us tonight. We hope, we will, that you all got some precious jewels from these from the show and the messages and the points and the bullets and all that fun stuff.
And thanks for bearing with me. I know I'm a lot to deal with, family. I appreciate you for bearing with me.
Well, they only get you for an hour a week. I'm here all the time.
That's true.
What about me?
People don't know how much Divine Queen got to deal with.
They don't.
But it's a lot of love, and she can't deal with it.
It's a lot of love, too.
Yeah.
It's a lot of crazy.
That love didn't sound too loving.
It's a lot of love, too.
What the heck?
It's a lot of love, too.
What does that mean? Like, what does that mean, Jay? Get the arm off me.
Oh, one more thing I want to share with the fam. Yeah. We went to the Victory of Light seminar. And for people who aren't in the local area, what that is that, you know, and a lot of cities do this. Ours is called Victory of Light, and it's pretty much a psychic festival that comes around twice a year. And there it's held at, you know, this really large convention center that we have here. And there's vendors from pretty much all the tri-state area where we're around, and some places even further out where they come in and they vend and they offer their services. They do anything from psychic readings to Reiki sessions to selling crystals.
They do
everything.
They do it.
But we had our first aura picture taken.
Yeah, we did.
And within our aura picture, there was a lot of love.
There was a lot of love. There was He was like, whoa, you guys really love each other. And I was like, I just met this girl last night. And he started laughing. And out of the tens of thousands of people that go to this thing, I won me a door prize.
Mm-hmm.
I got a free reading. And she was spot on everything. Everything she was spot on. And sometimes you get a reading and it's just a confirmation that you're on the right path. That lady didn't know me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something about me that she was like, whoa, everything that's going on in my life right now, she pretty much told me. And it was pretty deep.
You know, and it's funny because when we were in Vegas,
mm-hmm.
the energy that was in Vegas was at times overwhelming for me. And it was sometimes where I just had to kind of escape and go back to the hotel room and just chill out for a minute. But when we were at the Festival of Light, the psychic,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I keep saying, I want to go to the Festival of Light.
We can go back.
But, Festival of Lights is something else. It's a light show. But we were at the Victory of Light at the Psychic Fest, you know, being around so many other light beings and people who were on the, you know, path and same path that we're on. And it was just, the energy was completely different. I wasn't exhausted at all. I didn't feel, you know, attacked. I didn't feel, you know, tired. I didn't feel anything but love. And everyone there was really nice.
Everyone was nice. You know, I got another download that I must share this with the family. This is a jewel family. This is a good one. I really want you guys to go out in the sun tomorrow. Close your eyes, stand in the sun, acknowledge the sun, and ask the sun to give you any facets that you may have lost, any light energy that you may have lost. Ask the sun to give it to you. Sometimes you don't know what you can get until you ask for it. Go out in the sun and ask the sun to give you any light reserves that you may have lost. You might not get them all that day, but if you do it daily, you'll replenish your light. It's just as simple as that, family. I really want you guys to start picking up on this sun work because it will change your life. It changed my life. It changed my mom's life. It changed my wife's life. It changed my daughter's life. Okay, family?
So we know what we're talking about next week?
I have no idea. We barely got this show off.
We sure did.
We've never felt so old in our lives. We're trying to learn how to do stuff. It's like, because we don't ask people for help. We just do.
That's right.
But by us doing, we know how to do it now.
That's right. So next week will be even better.
Next week will be even better.
Not sure what we're going to talk about, though. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a show on... Oh, so Thanksgiving is Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should do something on, like, gratitude or... I don't know.
We don't know. We're going to find out.
We'll think of something. I don't know.
Gratitude? What's that?
I don't know. We'll do something.
We'll do something good.
We'll post it on Twin Flame Radio Facebook page and look for it on our Instagram pages, I Am Divine Queen.
And send us messages and let me know what y'all want to talk about. We got like 90 shows out there.
Ooh, someone said we should do a show on detritus.
Ooh.
That's what we're doing a show on.
We're going in on detritus. Go out to my YouTube page, The Enlightened Journey, T-H-E-E, Enlightened Journey. I did a video on that detritus for like 10 minutes, but we're going to go into detritus for an hour.
That's a good one.
Who said that? Did you get my book, bro? I'm pretty sure you did, man. I'm pretty sure you did. I don't even need to ask that. Dude, man, he's winning. He's like my favorite Tybro male.
Now, you're going to make other people feel good.
I don't care. I don't care about these people. But I can't care about my favorite Tybro male. Man. When I see him coming home, I go over and get that bro a hug. I stop eating my breakfast to walk over to him and his queen and say, what's up?
Yeah.
When
shout
I do
out
that,
to him and his
that's
queen.
Love.
Shout out to them both.
Man, I recognize light when I see it.
Yeah.
I'm a warrior bunny, but still. I don't know what that means. I don't know. The folks who know me as a warrior bunny know what it means.
No, we don't.
My mama do.
I ain't raising no punks. That made me sad.
That made me sad.
All right, Phil, we're about to bring it to a close. So, again, we will be doing a show next Monday, 9 o'clock Eastern time
on
the Tritus. And for those of you who don't know what that is, you're just going to have to tune in next week to find out.
You're going to be able to find out on the Internet.
Nope.
Not about the real Detritus.
No.
Woo! How about Turner Maxwell? Woo!
No.
Okay. Okay. Ah, shout out to the goddess Vanessa.
Yeah. All right, fam, we about to sing you out with some peace, love, and light. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris Enlightened.
This is Vincent.
Why are you laughing? That's too smooth.
You can't get all smooth.
Because that's the real me.
No, it's not. The real you is the high pitched voice.
No, that's the real me.
Anyway. This is Twin Flame Radio saying peace and love, family,
yeah.
Peace and love.
Love you all.
All right, Barry White.